Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 22nd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 42, the second paragraph, which begins with, "Then they outline the spiritual answer," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. will be reading the 12 steps, Cindy K. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W., Darian K., and Jordan L. The share ID for Sunday, July 21st, the special edition, is 13,181. That's 13181. And for this morning's July 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,182. That's 13182. Our newcomer greeter for today is Ramona A., and Reggie O. will be making announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. So, Cindy K., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K., gratefully recovered in Kansas City, Missouri. And here are our 12 traditions. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Tradition number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Tradition 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 42, the second paragraph, which begins with, then they outline the spiritual answer. And Sandy W., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much. I'd love to. Then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. But the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. That was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. Again, this is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And I was thinking about when I first started to feel that my alcoholic condition could be relieved. And, you know, and it seems so appropriate because I know last week our Vision for You meeting celebrated an anniversary because it was truly in hearing so many of you say on this line, announcing yourselves as recovered, something I had not heard in my face-to-face meetings or any other phone meeting I had been a part of. That's, I think, when I really started to believe my alcoholic, my compulsive overeating condition could be relieved. You know, I had never even noticed until I got here that our Big Book used that word recovered throughout it, and that even on the title page, it talks about that the book being of the first 100 who had recovered. You know, I know some say it's just a matter of semantics, but knowing I was promised a daily reprieve from my compulsion, you know, that I wouldn't be white-knuckling my abstinence each one day at a time forever, you know, that I finally had that peace and neutrality around food that I so desperately longed for, you know, it really sounded just too good to be true. And as drastic as the program of action that I realized was outlined here and I'd need to do to recover, You know, it has been one of the most worthwhile things I think I've done in my life, as difficult as it was. You know, I often hear others on the line say this as well, but just how grateful they are, and I know how grateful I am now for each humiliating, horrible bite that I took, because it was only in each of those bites that it finally led me to this program and to this meeting and to finally fully concede that I am the real compulsive overeater. You know, I just had to be beaten down by the food and those glimmers of hope that I would have with each new diet or health coach or sugar addiction program. Even though everyone failed, I just kept trying. You know, it was finally in all of those failings that I finally got it, that the only answer for me was the spiritual one described in this book, which 100 at that point had followed successfully. And, you know, I can only guess now how many who share on this line have had that success too. And now what seems like drastic measures has become a way of life that relieves my alcoholic condition and frees me to lead the life that God has always planned for me. And what a beautiful life it is. Thank you so much, everyone, for letting me share. And thanks again, Kathleen, for your service. On that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Sandy W., for getting us started so beautifully. Okay, who else would like to share on the second paragraph on page 42 this morning?
Maureen.
Melanie C.
Reggio.
Robin H.
Melanie C.
Hold on one second.
Deborah P.
Hold on. I have here Maureen, Melanie, Reggie. There was someone there before Deborah.
Robin H.
That's who I missed. And I can take one more.
Andy.
Bruce E.
Okay, I heard who came in before Bruce?
Ann B.
Okay, let's stop there. All right, so here's my lineup. Maureen, Melanie C, Reggie O, Robin H, Deborah, you'll have to remind me of your last initial.
P.
Ann B. P as in Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Annie B. and Bruce, I'll remember your initial by the time I get to you. So go ahead, Maureen, please.
Well, thank you so much. Maureen S. here, recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph, I love this paragraph because that's exactly where I am today in my recovery. But the moment I made up my mind to go through the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. I am right there. Like, I have this really curious feeling that, in fact, my alcoholic compulsive overeating condition is being relieved, like, on a daily basis, which is a miracle of miracles. I was a chronic relapser, in and out of OA for 22 years. And honestly, I really never thought it would work for me. Like, I was one of those just utterly hopeless cases that it just wasn't going to work. And now I actually came back crawling and desperate. On May 22nd, and May 23rd was my first day of abstinence. And I was just defeated and I couldn't do it anymore on my own. And I tried everything under the sun. I was just about to have weight loss surgery. And someone in my family who is a good friend said, "Well, have you really, really, really tried to do this before you, you know, make the decision to have the weight loss surgery?" And I thought, no, you know, I haven't really tried it. And the first thing I knew that I had to do was this program. And I dug out my big book and my recovery materials that I always saved. And my binges weren't just days. They were years. Like when someone says, "Oh, they had a slip." I didn't have a slip. I would leave it for years. So this time around, I did exactly what the big book says, and I'm listening to the hundreds, and now there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have done it before, and they know that it works. And I am so grateful that I needed all of that misery and all those years to get me to this point. And it's not even about the weight anymore. In just 2 months, which is not very long enough and not very long time, I have so much peace and so much more serenity. And even though, like, life still happens and I'm learning, you know, through working on the steps with my sponsor, that I have to accept life on life's terms, and I never used to accept life on life's terms. I was always in turmoil because of something, and easily offended and resentful. Oh my gosh, when I went through all my resentments, it was just, I printed a lot of sheets off, and I used like every single one. I just had, I was so full of all this resentment, and now I'm so realizing that it was all about me. Like, the focus was always on me. So no wonder I was offended and resentful. Just for a moment, if I stopped thinking about myself, I would feel better. And now I'm trying to do that on a daily basis. I had a not-so-wonderful family event last night with my husband's family. Came home and, like, knew immediately, thank you, knew immediately that I had resentments to work through. And I used the tools, and I went through what I needed to do, and it worked. And today I'm peaceful and serene, and I'm so very grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen S. And Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Reggio.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Wilsonville, Oregon. I remember very clearly the day, the moment, the time, the experience, and may I never forget it, when I found myself picking up the phone to ask somebody to help me, and I had never been in that place before. I had been at bottoms before. I had been at many bottoms before. I've been in places that were darker than the day that life turned around for me. But I can see myself very vividly, and somebody outlined a way in which I didn't have to live the way I was living anymore, and then I could be different than what I was and what I had hoped to be inside my heart. And they spread it out for me, detail upon detail upon detail, and I listened because I was out of answers. I was sick of myself. I didn't want to hear one more thing that I had to say, ever. And what they were sharing with me helped dispel the yes buts, the how comes, and the what ifs. They just didn't come out of my mouth anymore. And as they were sharing things with me, I was saying, that's big. Okay. And I was holding my mouth shut. I didn't say anything. And I stayed on the phone, and I found myself crying. I found myself a snot running down my nose and my shoulders kind of heaving because I was on that place that I had come too far in this disease. And there was no turning back. And that was a decision that was made. And I would be going through these things. And each and every one was scary because it was up against the familiar, up against the nature that I had come before. And it was for 50 years at that particular time, years ago, I was so comfortable in being in the unfamiliar, as toxic as it was. But something was different. Something was different in her tone, in the spark that she had, and how she was delivering this whole thing to me, and she outlined it beautiful. And year after year, I found many ideas that I had about life that had to be, I didn't throw them all out at the moment, at the time. I just want to be frank about that. They've come over time, and I would come up against a new awakening and a new vision and a way to see things that said, you know, that one needs to go too. This one's going to go too. Because what's happened as a result of that, outside of putting the food down and the weight loss, it's been over 165-pound weight loss maintained for over 13 years for me. That's not the point. The point is that I can live life every single day. There's a treatment for this twisted thinking. You see, because I'm a compulsive overeater 100% with what I call alcoholism 100% of the time, which is in the central operating system of my skull 100% of the time. This particular program outlined and application every single day works out that. So I have a parallel life of joy and freedom and happiness because someone came to me. And look at all the someones that are here today doing that same thing. I have a reason and a hope for living for every speck that tries to steal my joy and my glory today. Because I'm an addict with twisted thinking, I have a solution. And I come here. Thank you. I'll just cut off there. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. And Reggie O., you're up next, followed by Robin H.
Thank you, Kathleen, for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. So gratefully recovered here in Woodland Hills outside Los Angeles. This is one of my, has come to be one of my favorite paragraphs in the big book. And the part of the paragraph that is my favorite, the core is the moment I made up my mind to go through the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. And just as a reminder, I'm reminded that they're almost in the same words on page 14. Bill W. had the same experience, and his language was, but the moment, these were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. There was utter confidence. And, you know, I tell you, in this program, this ism has been a hard nut for me to crack, you know, for me to let go of the lifelong conceptions that I've got to do it myself, you know, what, and Jim, his Fred had this same problem, you know, self-knowledge, insight, I know, you know, and those were my several lifelong conceptions, or I have to look good, I can't let any of you know that I don't have this, you know, or that I'm not getting something, I just have to come across as I know, or either hide. You know, there was nothing that I knew, as much insight as I have had in my life, you know, the reasons why, for how they came, what's happening, that's really is of no avail here. There is such a surrender that, and that was the part that was challenging for me, as he talks about the moment I made up my mind, there was such a surrender for me to go through with this process. You know, even I've been through the steps and vision for you. I can't remember. And there was always a peace until this last time that I was holding on to. You know, so I could not let go. Something inside me just would not let go of some sense of control. And, you know, it was for me two things, you know, it was letting go completely of control around my food and being willing to surrender everything to my higher power, you know. And it says they outline, and when I had this experience, you know, when I got to that place, okay, this is it. I'm here. There was this feeling that was very different than any of the other times. The spiritual answer, you know, talks about in the next chapter, is finding a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problems, you know, which will solve our food problem. And the program of action is the 12 steps. So thanks so much. Great to be here.
Thank you, Reggio. Robin H., you're up next, followed by Deborah P.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service and for everybody's shares and for everyone being here. I'm gratefully recovered in Boston, Massachusetts. So I feel like this, like the very first sentence of this, and then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action. That to me, those words are like, it's like the treat, the gift. Like here's the, here's the answer. Here's the how. And following this and the program, I'm so grateful for that sentence, and I'm so grateful that the spiritual answer is there is one, and that it has been outlined by so many people who have been there and can show actual proof. It meant I would have to throw away several lifelong conceptions out of the window. It's like, to me, that is what surrender is. And before I found a vision for you, or actually, I think the day that I found a vision for you, that morning, I said the Serenity Prayer. And for the very first time, I had some understanding of what it meant. And I've been saying it for years and been hearing it for years in program. And I'm like, I don't really get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I get it. You know, I don't have to surrender. I have to surrender all of these limiting beliefs that are running through, that have been running through my crazy mind and have been controlling my life in ways that I didn't even know. I just knew that I was miserable and I was suffering and I was scared and I did not know where to go. And I thought The other limiting, like one of the biggest beliefs is that, and I've heard others share it today, is that I thought I was the one who had to do this, and I cannot let anybody else know that I cannot do this because I look okay and think that people think I'm okay, and oh, so that must mean I'm okay, and oh my gosh, all of that. And I wanted to let it go, and I didn't understand what it meant, and I tried to pull it out of me, and I don't have to. I just have to surrender to the fact that I have no control over so many things. And that I can trust that my higher power can help me and guide me. And, you know, and that decision is the cause. And all I have to do is make a cause, and the effects are going to come. But I've got to make the true right causes. And I have made many causes in the past that really didn't get me where I wanted to be. And it took for me to take a look at that. And I realized, no, it isn't about me. And like in the same way, it's not about the food. It's not about me. It's about what I can
time,
do.
Please.
Thank you very much. And I'll just finish with it. What I can do to be a better, happier person so that I can help other people. And all of that is where my hope goes. So thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Robin H. Deborah P., you're up next, followed by Ann B.
Hello, this is Deborah P., grateful, compulsive overeater. It's great to be here today and hear everyone share their story. For me, this is just really hitting home. I've been in and out of this program for a long time. I have never really taken action, to be quite honest. And I have recently done that. I did it in another program, and it was almost like immediately things started to change. And for me, taking action was getting a sponsor. I've heard some people say, well, it doesn't say that in the big book. You know, it's not necessary. That's just how it happened with me. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of divine thing that happens. And I got a sponsor, and this program is just starting to work. I don't know. I can't even explain it. But so this one sentence here, it meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. I think that's kind of what's starting to happen is, you know, for so many years, I've thought, oh, well, I'm reaching out to food for comfort. And, you know, it's this comfort thing. And I just need this food to help me feel better. And it's very paradoxical that actually I've been punishing myself because I have like a lot of medical things. I have a lot of things with my gut. So literally when I start feeling better and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm just feeling better. I'm sticking to my program. I immediately get the thought, well, I have to eat something now. I have to do this. I have to eat this particular food. And I know it's going to make me sick. So it's total insanity. And I think what's starting to happen now is, I'm just like, hey, you know, when that thought comes in, I'm just like, you know what? Why don't we just start treating, you know, I'm just going to start treating myself a little better now. And that lifelong conception has been like, somehow like, you know, you don't deserve to feel better or something. And anyways, I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very grateful to be a part of this program. And I appreciate everyone sharing their story. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Deborah P. Andy, it is your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Hi, I'm Ann B., compulsive overeater. I've never liked that word recovered, but I have been abstinent 14 years. And I was really struck by the phrase about having to change a few conceptions. And my experience was, in fact, that I had to change almost everything about the way I thought. I had to change the way I thought about God. I was a spiritual person, but I learned in program. I was a religious and spiritual person. I was a member of a religious group. I did spiritual practices. But I learned in this program that I was really a functional agnostic, that I still was trying to be in control. Even though I thought I had surrendered, I was still trying to be in control. And I was still
worrying because I thought I was in control. And it took a lot to see that. And I also, it took a lot to see that I was making other people into higher powers. It took a lot to see that, you know, particularly my family and my children, you know, became my obsession and my work, you know. And it took me a long time to see that what was the difference between cleaning my side of the street and cleaning somebody else's side of the street. That was not an intuitively obvious concept to me. And I really thought that swirling in drama with other people was a good thing to do. I thought I was being a more sympathetic, empathetic person by doing that. And it was really making me sick. And I thought that my perfectionism was good. I thought that was making me a better worker and a better person, and it was making me never get anything done and be irritable. And, you know, and so there were, you know, there just, I felt in the first few years of program as if I had gone back to college part-time. Because really, I call it redecorating my brain. I really had to become somebody else and think about everything differently. And people who know me and saw me through this process say that I am completely different personality, which is what it says in, you know, the doctor's opinion that Dr. Silkworth couldn't recognize Bill W. after he had had this spiritual experience. He couldn't, you know, he was a different person. And he hadn't even lost weight.
Time, please.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, so this business of a few conceptions, to me it was everything. I had to change almost everything about the way I was thinking. I'll pass.
And thank you, Ann B. So before we take Bruce E., just a reminder, we are on page 42 this morning, the second paragraph, which begins with, then they outline the spiritual answer. And I'll be taking some more names after Bruce. So go ahead, please, Bruce E.
Bruce E., North Carolina, recovered sugar junkie. And I think, thanks to everybody on the call. This is neat. They outlined a spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. 100 had gone before this guy, and they were recovered. And they outlined that. They laid that out, that that probably said, mentioned spiritual awakening, what happened. And it was awesome. And the guy's going to have, he said, drastic. Well, pretty drastic. He said that the drastic part of it was probably all the work he was going to have to do. That's what I thought was drastic. That's what kept me back and held me back. But I finally did it, took the plunge, and now I'm successful too. So I passed. Thank you.
And thank you, Brucey. Okay, who else would like to share on the second paragraph, page 42?
Joanne B.
Suma M.
Joanne B., Suma M.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Here's your chance, star one to unmute. I can take three more. All right, well, we'll start with those three.
Patty T.
Freedom H. Okay, we'll stop there. And we might have time for one in the end, so
Polly,
get your courage up. Was it Polly or Holly?
Polly Q.
Polly Q, great, awesome. Okay, we'll stop there.
So the lineup is Joanne B., Sima M., Jordan L., Patty T., Freedom H., and Polly Q. So go ahead, Joanne B., please.
Good morning. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. It's so nice to be here joining you this morning. The sentence that stuck out to me was, but the moment I made up in my mind to go through with the process, it's so neat, as some others have said this morning, that this process it takes time and there's continual change. And I didn't realize that, you know, it's like it's coming to me more and more. But every time I come to a place where I start digging my heels in, it's amazing how liberating, how much freedom I get by just making up my mind to continue the process. And I'm so grateful that God has brought me to this group specifically and to OA, because I have a freedom now that I've never had before in my life. And the joy that I always knew was available to me, I didn't know how to attain it. And I'm just absolutely in awe every day. I'm not saying that I don't have my moments. I do. I get down and I get grumpy and all of these things, and I have struggles, but I have a plan now, a plan of action that I've been taught through this program and through each of you as you share your story and your understanding. And quite frankly, it's been very nice to be here for these past 2+ years, and well, 2 years and several months, but it's been neat to watch even the growth in those who I've been listening to all this time. And I've just loved it, and I'm excited to see that growth happening in me. And with that, thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Joanne B. So Sima M., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Go ahead, Sima.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Can I be heard now?
Yes.
Okay. This is Sima M. from New Jersey, a grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery, and happy to be arrived safely home in spite of flying during that storm last night. When I first came into OA 43 years ago, or maybe it was 45 years ago, I was thin, but I knew that I was about to go into another one of my binges and gain weight. And at my second meeting, I heard somebody, it was a 9-step meeting, describe in detail the program of recovery in the Big Book. And I was enamored, and I said, I want what they have. And I was convinced from that moment till this day that I have discovered a new way of life, and it's just been a journey that hasn't been pleasant as far as food goes. There were years where I left OA, but I never left the concept that this was a way of living that I had never heard of and that I was internally grateful for, and life has been fulfilling. I'm now 67, and I just got back from ballroom dancing event in California that was for 5 days, and this is from a person who spent most of her life on the couch, either eating or just crying from depression. And it's all due to living in this 12-step program and the people that have joined me on my journey and that have helped me and that I have helped. I'm not very good with words, so I will pass, but I just wanted to get my 2 cents in. Have a great day, everyone.
And thank you, Sima M. Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Good morning. This is Jordan L., recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. And grateful to be with you guys this morning, which was certainly not my attitude when I first came in. I was like Fred. I didn't want to be one of you guys. I didn't want to be a compulsive overeater. I didn't want to have to be here. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like OA was not quite rock and roll enough for me, is the best way I have to describe it. I thought it was boring, and people were talking about their feelings, and it seemed very therapeutic, which was something that I was like not in touch with at all. I was very angry when I got here. I felt like I had been dealt the short end of the stick. I felt like this was not even a death sentence. Like I was gonna have to live like this, you know. Like Fred, I had been a nominal churchman. I was not into the idea of God. I was not down with that at all. I thought religion was a weakness, that something that weak people turn to. So when I was told, when I conceded to myself that I was powerless over this gig, that I had no other choice but to be here, that this was like really the only chance I stood, I was pretty bummed out about it. But that was the point where I really surrendered, you know, and I was really willing to give this thing a shot. And I just started watching the people around me. Like, that's truly how I learned to do this, was I watched the people around me. I watched my sponsor and the way that she relentlessly spewed the big book. And I watched another friend of mine and the way that she relentlessly welcomed newcomers and took them under her wing over and over and over again.
Please.
I'll wrap it up with very little thought of herself. And that's kind of like how this started. You guys showed me. So anyway, grateful to be on the line. Love you guys. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan. Now, Patty T, it is your turn, followed by Freedom H.
Hi, thank you so much, Kathleen. It's Patty T, recovered today from Southern California. And I don't know that I have very much to add at all to what's been said. I just really love the shares this morning. Except that, you know, it meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. That is the story of my recovery. I, like others, have had to throw every idea I had about myself, the world, other people, my everything out the window and start over. As one of my sponsors used to say, you are building a new foundation. And that's the absolute truth. When I came into this fellowship a little over a year ago, I had had that understanding that I was living in the same alcoholic mind of the people who'd raised me, you know, whether they were drinking or not, you know, and that cynical perception of life, that anger, that self-loathing, that mistrust, all of it was just something I couldn't live with anymore. Forget about the food. Forget about the weight. I wasn't in for the vanity anymore. I needed the sanity. And that's when I finally became willing to
to turn my will and my life over to my higher power and to ask others who had done that for help. And my life is so amazing today. I can't even express how grateful I am. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. So Freedom H, you're up next, followed by Polly Q. Go ahead, Freedom.
Thank you so much. I'm so very grateful for God and all of you fellows. Going through this process is a beautiful thing. My condition was relieved. It, in fact, proved to be. I love this reading. It is so true. I'm just taking baby steps, one foot before the other. Growing up in extreme dysfunctions and not being around healthy people, I was very wounded, and I'm so very grateful for this 12-step program. It is slowly healing me, and it is slowly teaching me the things that I should have learned from childhood on, the examples that I should have seen before me that were not displayed. But I'm thankful now that they say better late than never, so I'm so thankful now I'm able to learn these things and to go through this process. But if I try to fight against the process and the current, it's never going to work. I have to just let myself go into this stream and just this lake, and I have to go with the flow. And if I try to think that I know what's best, I'll be right back full-blown into my addiction. I'm thankful to be abstinent right now at this given time in my life, which I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that would happen, because I used to actually believe that I would die if I didn't eat. I had some weird notion in my head that I developed a thing that I would die if I didn't eat a ton of food. God, this program and the higher power and these alcohol book here, Anonymous, is just beyond amazing. And with that, I'm here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Freedom H. And Polly Q, we'll have you take us out this morning. Go ahead, Polly.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. When I finally realized I had relapsed 4.5 years ago, after being in the program for, 19 years, I thought, I am going to have to do this differently. And I realized I had been white knuckling abstinent for all those years. And it was, as they said in here, willpower. I was just tremendous. It was willfulness that had kept me going that long. And finally, I just couldn't keep it up. I have got to find a different spiritual answer. And I've been in the program in the rooms forever, never heard the doctor's opinion read. I was walking around clueless. And when I got onto Vision, and I heard when the spiritual answer and program of action was outlined by people who had followed it and for whom it had worked, I knew I was hearing something entirely different. After all those years, after going to a bazillion different meetings and conventions and you name it, finally I had heard a program of action. But I too run into this this idea that this is pretty drastic, and in later on, I think it says, to die of an overeater's death or to live a spiritual way of life are not always easy alternatives to face. And I'm sure I paraphrase that, but it is the truth. It's not always easy alternatives to face, because as an overeater, it takes a long time, if I'm all about willpower, which is what I've been trained to do, to diet, right? It seems like I can't imagine, you know, my life is good enough that I can just keep dieting, you know. It takes me a while to burn the house down, and sometimes years and years of relapsing. And for me, it took years to realize, wow, I was just white knuckling abstinence. It was all about willpower with, you know, some God in it, you know, some higher power, you know. And I'd had a spiritual awakening, but I couldn't keep that spiritual awakening. It is a daily program of action. And I am so grateful for these rooms and the people, the 100 plus people that have recovered. I get to hear. So thank you for letting me share with all of us.
And thank you, Polly Q. And thank you, everyone who made this such a great meeting this morning. Excellent shares. Thank you so much. And a special thanks to Team Monday, excuse me, Shelly E., Cindy K., Sandy W., Darian K., Jordan L., Ramona A., and Reggie O. Thank you, Team Monday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Darian W., will you please read a vision for you?
Yep, Darian K. Yep. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.